Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing that has been. Got this on? All right. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching on little known Bible characters that have a great message for us. We know that God has preserved every word that we find in this Bible right here. I think for the English speaking people, this King James Bible is what has been proven and tested with time. And God has preserved every word. He tells us man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So if that's what God would have us to do, then he would have to have provided for us every word. And I believe we have that right here. And so as we study this, we know that not only is every word important, but especially the Bible characters, God has recorded each one in the Scriptures for us to learn biblical principles, Old Testament, and the different things that are there. And so we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that you might never have really heard preached about or studied on your own, but I believe they have a powerful message for us. And so tonight, we've been going back and forth. We studied on the New Testament last Sunday night, and this Sunday night, we're in the Old Testament. We've been going back and forth with these little-known Bible characters. But we're going to find the one that we're going to be looking at tonight in Judges chapter 17. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read verse 1 down to verse 6. Little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. Chapter 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. I don't know, that's not what I would have said to my son that stole 1,100 shekels. And we're going to get into that. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver, and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. And Lord God, you knew who was going to be here before they even knew they were coming. You know exactly what kind of spiritual needs that each one has. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to bless on our services tonight, and that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again and use it to speak to each and every one that's here. Give each one that ear to hear what you have for them this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, the Bible character that we're looking at tonight is this Bible character named Micah. Now, this is not the prophet Micah. That's a different Bible character, all right? He's got one of the books in the Bible, but this is not that man. This Micah, God reveals to us that he's just a man of Mount Ephraim. And God's recorded it for us so that we can identify with that. And so it could be any one of us. It could be any man. It's just a man out of Mount Ephraim. Okay, and so that's what the Bible says about Micah before he tells us a story that goes along with this. And I think that he says that so we can realize this is just an ordinary man. This is not a prophet. It's not a priest. It's just an ordinary man in Mount Ephraim. and which is important because this would have been of the children of God, and which would have had different expectations. God has different expectations for his children and how they conduct themselves and how they live their lives, because Christians today are to represent Christ. That's what you're an ambassador of God's. And so if you're saved here tonight, then God says, I have expectation of you beyond what I have of others that are not saved. I have expectations of you because you are to represent my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's Christianity. So in the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. His expectations of Israel was that they would represent God to the world. Well, we go on. So we know this is just not a prophet, but a man of Mount Ephraim. Micah is a picture of what happened to God's people in the absence of spiritual leadership. Now, I want you to understand that, because it's in between, they're in between judges, and before that God gave them kings, and so we find that they were in between. And the Bible says very clearly, and this is something that we need to look at, because this helps us to understand the message that God has for us in those days. In the day that we're studying here that Micah lived in those days there was no king in Israel, very important, okay? But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So no king. Micah didn't have no mention of a father. No priest. And no king. Absolutely no spiritual influence, no spiritual leadership in this man's life. With that, helps us to understand the need for spiritual leadership. And the need for spiritual leadership, according to God, is first of all in the home. If you'll study the Word of God, especially in this New Testament church age, the most important thing that people being born into this life need is to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children need to be taught about God. Children need to be taught about the Bible. Children need to understand that there is a purpose for their lives and that there is an eternity. This is not all there is. There is an eternal heaven and there is an eternal hell. And there's consequences to our sins. Can I tell you, that's what God says. The spiritual leadership that God has established was first of all to be established for the authority and the leadership in the home. God has given parents the responsibility to raise their children. Never determined that government should have the authority to raise children. Never was determined that the church would have the authority to raise children. God, Almighty God, said the authority and the spiritual leadership that I have established needs to come from the home first of all. As we study the Bible, you'll find that to be true. The second would be the church. Amen. Because the church is made up of individual families. And if the church is what it ought to be, there is spiritual leadership in the church, and the church is going to reinforce what a Christian parent will teach their child. When they come to church, especially when they come to Sunday school and they go to junior church classes, they're going to hear a teacher get up there and tell them the very same things that a godly parent will teach them in raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is a God. God has a plan for your life. You need to get saved. You need to get baptized. You need to honor your parents. You need to do right. And so the second line of authority that God has established, he established, first of all, the first line of authority is parents. The second line of authority is the church. And the true church will just reinforce what the true Christian parent teaches their child. And then what God has established that's a long way from what it ought to be is government. The laws that govern our land. Praise the Lord for America, because our forefathers took the very words of God and from the very words of God established a constitution and established laws for the land that we live in, this Christian nation. Don't let anybody tell you that it was not established to be a Christian nation. It was, and it is. But we find that those are the three authorities. Now, they would relate to Micah, no father, no priest, which would be like the church. The priest in the Old Testament, now we're every believer, we understand the priesthood of believers, but in the Old Testament, they had to go to a priest to be able to offer sacrifices, to be able to communicate with God. And so the priest, having no priest there, no spiritual leadership, without having a biblical priest in his house, would be the same thing as a family not having a church to attend. Not having a church to be able to reinforce what you are trying to teach your children. And that's why there has to be a church. Listen to me, it's an impossibility for a family to raise their children exactly the way God would have you to raise your children outside of the help that God gives the family, the Christian family, and that is the church. And then no king would represent government, would represent leadership of government. And so I don't know that no king is better than a bad king. And Israel went through a lot of bad kings. But anyway, that's what we're looking at here. As we're looking at Micah and the biblical principles associated with the story of Micah, we understand this spiritual leadership. No father. Now, I'm not saying that a single mother cannot. You can. Amen. It's going to be a lot more difficult, but you have to take the position that God has established for a man in the house. You have to take that spiritual position if there's no man in the house. And you have to raise, then it's up to you to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But God would have you to do that. But here in this particular story that we find of Micah, just an ordinary man in Mount Ephraim, in a day and age where they had no king, Micah had no father, no spiritual leadership, and no church or no priest in the home. All were established by God for his purpose. Now listen, let me make this statement. If God's design for the family disintegrates, if it goes away, we will eventually have a godless society where man will destroy man. Because we will do exactly what the Bible says they did then, when there was not a king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And in his own eyes, outside of the spiritual leadership of God and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in the hearts and lives of every believer today, there is an evil nature, there is a sin nature in mankind. And if left unchecked, that sin nature will destroy a society and they will end up destroying each other. So, let's look at the story. Remember, no godly influence. Micah steals 1,100 shekels of silver from his own mother. Now, I'm told that 10 shekels of silver would have been an average wage for a year. So we're not talking about a small lump sum. So we know that this woman must have been a fairly wealthy household. Okay? And so now Micah, in this very wealthy household, seen where he could take 1,100 shekels of silver, a large sum of money. His mother found that it was gone. Wherever she had it stored, the Bible didn't tell us that. His mother found that it was gone and cursed the thief that took it. And she cursed the thief in Micah's ear. Amen. Micah knows all along, I'm the one that took it. She doesn't know he took it. And she is cursing the thief that took it. And so Micah now knows that my mother is very upset over this and she is very angry. If she only knew. Like Micah later confessed to his mother, guilt, conviction, possibly close to being found out. If you understand the story here, it's not because he feared God, he feared his mom. And he knew if she found out, okay, and she was getting ready to find out, the only hope that he had was to confess ahead of time. I think it was a forced confession, basically. But the Bible didn't, but the Bible says this is what took place. His mother blesses him. Now, we're going to see in just a minute, that is not biblical. You don't tell your child that is just stolen from you, the parent, and sold a substantial amount of money, that they are blessed by God. Anyway, his mother blessed him. Then, after he tells her this, that he's the one, after blessing him, she dedicates it all to the Lord. That's her own words. Religion is not truly Christ-likeness. Religion is not what we need today. We need Christianity. We need Christ-likeness. And so we find out that she dedicates it all to the Lord to make an idol for Micah, which we know and we'll study in just a minute, that is not biblical. In her mind, as we understand what was going on here, she offered this to appease the small letter G gods, more than likely, so that they would not take vengeance on Micah. So she offers it all. She dedicates it all to the Lord. When it comes time for her to have this built, this idol built, she gives 200 shekels. Now, there's a lot of question marks here. Stay with me here tonight. Okay, he took 1,100 shekels. He gives it back. And she says, well, I'm going to give it all to the Lord, and I've dedicated it all to him so that I will build you an idol. It really doesn't matter to me, the money. I want to give it to the Lord. He's going to build you an idol. It'll appease the gods. When it comes time to give it, she gives 200 shekels. Where's the other 900? You see what the Bible's telling us here, that she is very dishonest herself. He comes by it rightly so. Okay, so she only gives 200 shekels. Micah then makes his own son. If you would continue to read down here, he makes his own son his priest. For he establishes his own church. No one else is doing it the way I want it to be done, so I'm just going to start my own church. I'm going to put my son as the preacher. I'm going to put my daughter in charge of the finances. I'm going to put whatever. I want to establish the church the way I want to establish it. That's not biblical. But that's what we have. Now, again, this was a story of Micah with the emphasis on humanity. Everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. No spiritual leadership. So, without spiritual leadership, what do we find here in this story of Micah that I believe has a great message for us? Without spiritual leadership, what do we see first of all? We see the sin of covetousness. Micah coveted the money before he ever stole it. Micah saw it, and in his heart he said, I deserve to have what I want. I deserve to have what I want. Just because somebody else has it, if they have it, I deserve it. Obama's program. No, I got to stay here. Right here. Don't have to work for it. Don't have to earn it. No, you ought to have it. Amen. And it's leading to the sin of covetousness because somebody else has it. I deserve it. I should have it. I deserve to have what I want. That's what Micah did. Was that spiritually correct? According to God's plan for the nation of Israel? No. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let me and there were several here that you're going to find that is in direct opposite of what God established for his children in the Old Testament. This is an Old Testament Bible character that we're looking at and studying. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. As God was given to the children of Israel the commandments of God. Verse 17, the 10th commandment actually. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. A neighbor is somebody that they're going to see. Just because your neighbor has it does not mean that you deserve it. Can I tell you, so many are caught up in this idea of coveting things that it will destroy their lives because it will lead them opposite the spiritual direction that God would have us to go. If there was spiritual leadership, they would say, thou shalt not covet. So, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. New Testament, which is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, is what Jesus Christ presented as the very laws of God, spiritual leadership. Luke in chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus speaking, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It's not how you need to live your life wanting what everybody else has. So, parent, it begins in the home. So let me ask you, what do you do when your child wants what another child has? In a minute, we're going to ask you the second thing, and we'll follow that. And then what do you do when the child goes over that there and grabs it and takes it away from the other child? When the child sees something on television and they come to you and they say, I want it, I want it. Television ads are directed at the children to make them think that they cannot live without this. And everybody else, when they start going to school, everybody else has this designer's clothes and this type of tennis shoe and this type of this and that type of that. And they come home and says, Mom, Dad, everybody has it. I need it. Just because everybody else has it, I deserve it. Now, what do? Well, you sure do. Let me go out and buy whatever you want. Do you see an opportunity for spiritual guidance? No, you can't have it. They're playing with it. You have a toy, play with that toy. I don't want it. That's what happened because they're sinners. Amen. When they do that, then you take it away and say, all right, then you have nothing. How does that suit you? Spiritual help in directing them away from this idea because somebody else has it, I deserve it, that's covetousness. The Bible says, God says, thou shalt not. And Jesus says, don't make that your life. Because if you don't get spiritual direction, it will become your life. Wow. So the lesson is, be content with what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Learn to get by on what you have. Amen. Well, let's move on. There's more here. Amen. And I think we can get it all in before the time's out. Because I have no time limit. No, I'm just saying. Not only do we see the sin of covetousness, I gave it away already, but without spiritual leadership, And no one ever steals anything without first of all coveting it. So if you nip it in the bud and get rid of covetousness, then you're not going to raise a thief. Amen. So what do we see next? He coveted that 1,100 pieces, shekels of silver. We see then the sin of stealing when he even confesses later on, I took it. So I can have what I can take. That's the mindset of a thief. Don't care about how it's going to impact your life, how it violates your home, how it violates your what you've worked hard for. The mindset of the thief is not on you. The mindset of the thief is, first of all, covetousness. I want it. And the second thought is, I can have what I can take. Exodus chapter 20, for the sake of time, we won't go there, but you know it. Thou shalt not steal. Followed up by Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians in chapter 4. These biblical principles are the same today. Jesus brought that to light in the New Testament. But Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 28 says this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, work to pay for whatever you want. Amen? The things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But a person who is living a life of covetousness that will lead him into a life of thievery does not think of others. And they're going to go that way if they do not have spiritual leadership. And it begins in the home. So, what do you do when your child takes from another? Well, he's had a bad day, and really, you know, that was his before it was yours. He was playing with it first, and then he put it down, and you caught it. But he really had it last week, and so you ought to give it to him. Is that spiritual leadership? Are you promoting your child taking what he can take because he desires to have it? I'm amazed at times how parents think concerning their own children. And your children, God has given to you to be their spiritual leadership. And can I tell you, parent, you will not give an account how that child turns out, but you will give an account for how you raise that child. Amen. Don't raise a thief. Spiritual leadership. She told him that he was blessed. Unreal. You see, the mother covered up his sin. The mother wanted to make excuses. There's 30 and 40 year old spoiled brats that were spoiled when they was 3 and 4 years old, that's never been taught spiritual truths, never been led spiritually, that now are spoiled adults that are still doing wrong and are still having their sins covered up by their parents. And it's costing a lot of parents all of their life savings to continue to bail them out of jail and to pay for their lawyer's expenses and on and on and on and on. When you do start doing things what is right in your own eyes, a parent will justify their children because they're their children. And they see their own child like only a mother can see that child, blinded to the reality that he is got some spiritual problems. And unless those spiritual problems are addressed, they'll never be the man or the woman that God wants them to be. And see, parents, when you're teaching them that stealing is wrong, and you bring them to church, and they're going to hear a Sunday school teacher at some point tell them stealing is wrong. And they're going to have a preacher stand before them and preach the very words of God and help them to see that it's wrong to covet. It's wrong to steal. And there is a judgment upon those who do. There are consequences to your sins. Spiritual leadership at home, followed by spiritual leadership in the church, that's about all we can control today. But if we had spiritual leadership, amen, in positions of government, then they would do the very same thing. Support what God has taught through the very words that we have before us. Yeah. Well, without spiritual leadership, we'll see the sin of lying. What silver? Somebody took your silver? Whew, can you believe that? Somebody come into our house and took the silver. The girls have been raised. Mom, my something is gone, whatever it might be. My something is gone. I say, can you believe that? Somebody come in, broke in through the night, and they went into your room and they stole your dress. The only other explanation is there's only four of us in the house. We got a thief among us. Yes. What, silver? No, I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to find out, and when I do, that thief is going to get it. That's what she told him. She cursed the one who took it. Sin of lying. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, let me just read it to you. You know what, it is part of the Ten Commandments, part of how God established spiritual leadership for the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not. When you see, when God says thou shalt not, he means thou shalt not. Don't do it. Don't allow your children to get by with it. Don't make excuses for them when they do. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not. Colossians 3:9, Proverbs 12:22 tells us, don't let them get by with it. Discipline them. Discipline them. Because if you don't address it when they're young, we're going to raise a generation of habitual liars. It's a sin that Satan uses. It starts out with just lying to get what I want. And then it's just lying because I can. Lying to get out of trouble. Telling whoever that you're talking to, telling them whatever they want to hear. Because you want them to think good of you. And you want them to think that you're their friend. And so you know what they, it's not true, but it's, I know it's what you want to hear, so I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. And you lie because it makes you look good. And you continue to get by with lying, and before you know it, this habitual habit becomes a stronghold. Before you know it, you lie for no reason at all. And you wonder, you ask yourself, why did I lie about that? I didn't need to. It's because you've already given into it to the place where Satan has used it to get a stronghold in your own life, and you become an habitual liar. How do you keep from raising habitual liars? When you find that child in a lie, discipline that child. Sit that child down and say, you know that God says, you should not, thou shalt not bear false witness. You should not lie. Lying is not of God. It does not please God. Our children were young. We used to have them every night. We'd go into the room and tell me 10 good things. What's good things? Oh, going to church is good. Yes, that's good. Reading the Bible, that's good. Yes, praise the Lord. Prayer, that's good. Yes. Now tell me 10 bad things. Lying is bad. Yes, it's bad. Stealing is bad. Yes, it's bad. Amen. What was it doing? What was we doing in their room when they were young? spiritual leadership. We kept them in a church. When we took them to church, we knew that the church would reinforce spiritual leadership. So they would not do and not going away that they wanted to do. It was right in their own eyes. Without spiritual leadership, we see the sin of dishonoring parents. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. First commandment with promise. Ephesians chapter 6. First commandment with promise. Honor your parents. What do you do when your child slaps you? Oh, isn't that cute? No, it's not cute. What do you do when your child throws a temper tantrum? What do you do when your child disobeys or will not obey what you tell them to do? And you tell them, if you do that one more time, and if you do that one more time, and if you do that one more time, and the child learns one time is good as often as I need to. There's no consequences. See, children hitting their parents, throwing temper tantrums, and their parents just acting like they're not, it's not happening. And I'm thinking, do you realize what you're doing? You're showing no spiritual leadership for that child. That child is dishonoring you, and you're allowing them to dishonor you. If you allow children to dishonor you, they will be raised to adults who dishonor their parents. And they'll lock you away in a nursing home somewhere and never come and visit you. Yeah. You might think about that. If God is not motivation enough for you to raise them right, think about the consequences. Dishonored his mother. Stealing from his own mother. Well, and then lastly, we see dishonoring of God. When without spiritual leadership, there was no spiritual leader in the home. There was no church or priest, spiritual priest. There was no king or spiritual government. He makes a graven image to be placed in his house of small letter G gods. Have the mentality, doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you're a good person, all roads lead to heaven. That's not truth. That is not true. But without spiritual leadership, you're left to believe whatever you want to believe. You're left to believe whatever society says is morally right and wrong. What society says is accepted behavior. When it does matter. Because the Word of God has been given to us so we might know what God says about right and wrong. His mother dishonors God. And then Micah makes his own son his spiritual leader. Well, I go to church and I've got spiritual leaders. Are they leading you in the paths of righteousness? Are they leading you? Are they teaching you the Word of God? Are you just going to soothe your own conscience in case there might be a God? When you know that there is a God, it's very important that you understand what He wants you to understand about Him. And we worship Him according to how He says He is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 5, the Bible says, God told him, you'll have no other gods before me. You don't make graven images. You don't worship idols. New Testament, 1 John 5:21, the Bible says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. If the Bible warns us, can I tell you, it's a warning because it's a possibility. If Satan can get you thinking that that little statue is God, or that big-bellied statue is God, or the church is God, or whatever you want to believe is God is God, if Satan can get you to believe in that kind of God, he's fine with that because you do not believe in the true God. Keep yourselves from idols. When Jesus came, he said, pick up your cross, follow me, and I'll give you spiritual leadership. Are we living today without spiritual leadership? Are we failing to provide it in the homes? Are we failing to provide it in the church? And are we failing to provide it in society? We need spiritual leadership. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Micah. The story of Micah reveals what will take place when we don't have spiritual leadership. It begins in the home. Parents, oh, it's so important that we understand that. It begins in the home. Those children need to be raised with spiritual leadership and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do we have it? Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for the word of God that you preserve for us. We thank you for this Bible character named Micah and the biblical principles and the message that we have received from his life. And I pray, God, that every one of us here tonight would have received something from this. And not only do we receive it, but we will make plans to make applications in our own lives. I pray for this invitation, God, right now, that you would speak to each one that needs to be at this altar, that needs to possibly recommit to being that parent that you want them to be, that needs to come to this altar to ask for your strength and guidance and help. I pray, God, that you would work in our midst, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.